And at one point, I really just felt like, and there's a phrase that we hear a lot of times, that we're at our wits' end. Anybody ever heard that phrase, been at your wits' end? I know some of you young ones maybe not, but us older ones, we've heard that phrase before of you know what, I'm just at my wits' end. I remember when my mama or my grandmother, when she ever said that she was at her wits' end, all the grandkids scattered. Because it wasn't long that somebody was going to get a whipping. And that meant that, you know what, it was just she's had enough. And a lot of times in our life, we may get to that point in our life that we may say, you know what, I'm just at my wits' end. And what that can represent, not that it does for all of us, but what it can represent sometimes is, you know what, I'm ready to give up. You know what, I can't do anything else. There can be, being at your wits' end can be a good thing or it can be a bad thing. And as I was laying there in the hospital that night, I'd brought a couple of books with me that I'd been studying, and I got to this one book that I just fell in love with. And I want to read one verse out of Psalms 107 and verse 27. The Bible says, "And they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end." Let us pray this morning. Father, we do love you. We do thank you. We thank you for another opportunity to come into your house of worship. Help me this morning, Lord, that I might help someone, Lord, that may be discouraged, down and out, or whatever the case this morning. Most of all, Lord, if there be one that's not saved, I pray that this morning would be the morning they come to know you as Lord and Savior. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. But being at our wits' end, I've been there a few times in my life, I'll be honest with you. Before I was saved, I felt like a couple of times I was at a place in my life where there was simply no one cared about me. And I could really just care less whether life continued or not. I never thought about taking my life at all. But you know what? I just come to the point where it's just life didn't matter really. And that's growing up in a home where I knew nothing but love. And but I've also, since I've been saved, almost 13 years now, I've also realized that, you know what, there's been times in my Christian walk with the Lord, listen, I've been at my wits' end. And I've been at that point to where, you know what, I was ready to give up. I was ready to make a change. And I've been at that point to where, you know what, in a sense, I've hit rock bottom and I've been at wits' end that, you know what, that I couldn't do nothing else but cry out for God's help. And that's what I want to kind of focus on this morning, is the thought of being at wits' end so that it's a good thing in our life. Let me say this, sometimes when we get at wits' end, it is a good thing. Maybe we do hit rock bottom. You know what, that we figure out that there's nothing else that we can do in this particular situation to help. There's nothing else that mankind can do. It may be nothing else that your spouse or your children or your doctors or your pastor or your church or anybody else can do, but that we get to that point in our lives that, you know what, that our number one focus is on God. And that's where I want to go this morning. And let me read just a little bit here to you, and then I want to talk to you about 5 points this morning. In Psalms 107:27, the Bible speaks of those who are at their wits' end. The word wit has to do with our intellect. It speaks of the plans and schemes we come up with and try to deal with in circumstances in life. And when we come to wit's end, we declare this, that there's nothing I can do. I can't deal with this matter. It's bigger than me, but I recognize that although it's bigger than me, it's not bigger than God. Now, when we can get to that point in our life that we say, you know what, nothing's bigger than God, and although it looks dim, and although, you know what, things don't look very good on the horizon, nothing's bigger than God, then there's hope. The Bible says over in Ecclesiastes, I believe it's 9:4, the Bible says to the living there's hope. To us that have breath coming out of our bodies, there's still hope for us. The Bible says are in one of the greatest places. Here in my commentary, one of the greatest places that we can come to in our life is at wits' end. It is a great place because this is where we are willing to allow the Lord to take over in our life. Now, I can share just for a moment with you three different times, and I won't because I have before and y'all know them, but three different times since I've been saved, the Lord's put me on my back for several weeks at a time. And you know what? To get my attention, I was at my wit's end. You know what? I began to think that I was bigger than what I was, that I was smarter than what I was, that, you know what, I was just going to be the greatest preacher that there ever has been. I mean, there was times that the Lord put me down on my back so that, you know what, that I could do nothing but look up to Him. And there's been times in my life also that, you know what, I have been so discouraged with the situations that I was ready to just give up and throw in the towel. And in that time there, in that particular time in my life, you know what, again, the Lord put me at a place, in a place so that all that I could do was to look up at Him. And let me say this morning, and I believe that there's some of you in here this morning, and it may be from the youngest to the oldest, but there's some of you in here this morning, and where you are this morning is that you're at wit's end. You're at the point in life where, you know what, you may not even be concerned if life goes on. You may not be happy with your circumstances that are around you. You may not be happy with what's going on in your life. You're at wit's end and you could just care less. Let me tell you this morning, there's hope for you if that's you this morning. Our age does not matter. You know what, it could be one of our youngest kids in here that, you know, just does not like what mom and dad says. It could be one of our teenagers. It could be one of our teachers. You know what? It could be me. And if we're not careful in our life, you know what? We'll make decisions that's not pleasing to God. And this morning, I hope that I can bring out a few things, just a few points that may help you if you're at that point in your life where you're at wit's end. And let me say this also, that if you're not at wit's end, and if you haven't been at that point in your life, there's a good chance somewhere down the line that you may come to this point where you know what else to do. And that you may be at a crossroads, and you may be searching, and maybe you're praying, and you're fasting, and you're seeking God's will for your life, but maybe you're just out of God's will, and you've been disobedient, or whatever the case is. At some point, you know what, we'll probably all come to this point where we're at wit's end. And I want to share with you five things this morning, I believe, that'll help us if we'll allow it to. Number one, let me say this. When we get at wit's end, number one, what we need to do is just lean on Him. What we need to do is just lean on Him. Now, I mean, a leaning simply means just to, in a sense, fall over up against something, as I'm doing here. I'm leaning over on the pulpit. It's helping me. What is it? It's supporting me, isn't it? It's keeping me from falling down. It's helping me to stay up. Sometimes in life, we get tired. We need something to lean on. We need something to just to catch our breath. Sometimes when we're running, we're tired, we'll lean on the wall, or we may lean on a friend. But let me say, the greatest thing, the greatest person, the greatest thing that we can do in life when we get at wit's end is for us just to lean on Him. Proverbs chapter number 3 and 5, the latter part of that verse says, lean not on thine own understanding. And lean not on your own. Don't try to figure things out our way. You know what? The first time a problem comes up, no matter what it is, you know what my mind tries to do, Miss Kim? My mind tries to figure out the solution to it. It doesn't matter if it's something simple or if it's something great. The first thing that I want to do is try to figure it out all by myself on my own. And then sometimes I may ask somebody else what they think. And you know what? When what we need to do is just lean on Him. And on Him, I mean Jesus this morning. I mean lean over on Him. I mean lean over on Him. Listen, He'll give you rest. He'll give, Matthew 11 there, in chapter 11 says, He'll give us rest if we will just lean. There's been times that I literally felt like, you know what, I had no strength whatsoever. And you know what, I just tried, Lord, I've just got to lean on You. Even if it's just for a little while, you know what? I've just got to lean over on You, Lord. Some of you this morning, you know what? You're going through trials, you're fighting battles, there's things going on, and you don't know which way to turn, and maybe you've turned and made bad decisions, or maybe you're about to make bad decisions, or maybe you just don't know. Let me say, first of all, this morning, you need to lean on Jesus. Lean on Him this morning. Listen, He'll never fail you. He'll never let you fall down. Listen, sometimes on our own, we may fall down. We may step out of His will. You know what? And sometimes, you know what? We may do things in our life that cause a little harm to us. But you know what? He's there for us. You know what? To those that are saved, you know what? He lives within us. Hey, we never can lose that salvation. You know what? We got something to be happy about. But boy, when I'm at my wit's end, you know what I've learned to do? I've just learned to lean over on Him. I've got a special place in my home on my land, and my girls could take you to it. It's a big rock. It probably weighs about 1,000 pounds. It's a huge rock. And I told it, I actually carried it with a dozer one day down, and that rock sets up on a little hill, and it overlooks two creeks that come together. I live there on Hooping Creek, and many times in my life when things are not good, or when I'm having trouble, or when things aren't just what they're supposed to do, you know what? I'll make a trip down there to that little rock. And you know what I'll do? I'll just lay across it. And in a sense, what I'm doing, I'm leaning on it. I'm laying on it, and I'm saying, Lord, I need Your help. I need Your direction. I need guidance in my life right now. And that's a quiet place that I get away from everything. I can hear the water in the creek running, but it's a special place to me because many times in my life, that's where the Lord has spoken to me. Listen, when we're at wit's end, number one, listen, you should lean on Him. And let me say, number two, not only should we lean on Him, but we should talk to Him. I mean, we should physically talk to Him. I never forget many times in coming home from work when I worked in Atlanta several years ago, 15, 16 years ago, and well, not that long. My kids aren't that old, so 10, 12, 13 years ago. I remember coming home from work, and I'd park downstairs, and I remember hearing my children's feet run across the top floor, and they would be waiting at the staircase, and when I turned around there, they just couldn't wait to jump up in Daddy's arms and begin to talk to him and tell me all about what's going on that day. Everything Mama did that was good and bad, they'd tell me everything. I can't get them to come jump up in my arm for nothing anymore. They've outgrown those days. But you know what? It was at those times, I mean, those were some of the most precious times, to hear my children, and even today, when they come in there, you know what, and they say, Daddy, can I just talk to you for a minute? No matter what it's about, boy, that is still so precious in my life. And I wonder sometimes how our Heavenly Father feels when we never, ever spend time talking to Him. You know what? A lot of times, that the only time that we talk to Him is when we are in a situation where we need His help. Yes, where things have come up, we're at our wits' end, but yet that's the only time. And we should in those times. But let me tell you something, friend. Hey, when we're on the mountaintop and things are, everything seems like they're just falling into place and everything is good, and I mean, everything is happy, and boy, thank God is so good. And even in those times, we still need to talk to Him. I mean, just lean on Him. And when we're leaned over on Him there, when we can't hardly hold ourselves up, and we lean, you know what? That we just talk to Him during those times. The Bible says in Psalms 119 and 27, make me to understand thy way of thy precepts. Listen, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works. What I need to do in my life, not only should I talk to Him about what's going on in my life, my personal life, and my family, and my church, and you, but you know what? Hell, we need to tell others. We need to tell others, the lost, those that are hurting, we need to tell others about the wondrous things that He has done for us. You know what? The greatest thing that you can tell somebody is just share your testimony of salvation with them. You know what? Maybe the next greatest thing that you can do for somebody is just tell them something that God done in your life that was just amazing, that was just a miracle. And no telling who There's no telling who you might reach for Christ if we would just step out. Sometimes lean on Him and talk to Him. You know what? Any relationship, it doesn't matter who it is. Trevor, I love you, man. I do. I love Trevor's my friend. He is. I love you. But you know what? If you and I never talked, I mean, we never spoke a word to each other. If we just met in the hall and we just turned our heads and we never communicated, would I think Trevor was my friend? Would he think that I was his friend? Would y'all think that we liked each other? No. Because that communication, there's a gap there in the communication, right? But you know what? When we communicate with each other and we talk to each other, those relationships, you know what? They can grow closer together. My number one goal in life is that my relationship with my Heavenly Father, day by day by day by day, you know what, would become closer and closer and closer and closer. But I've learned, unless I lean on Him, unless I continue to talk with Him, that may not happen. But not only should we lean on Him, and not only should we talk to Him, but you know what, most of all, listen, we should listen to Him. You know, He wants to help us. He does. He doesn't like to see His children suffer. And we do sometimes, and He wants to help us. But you know what? Hey, sometimes we go, we say, Lord, I need this in my life. This is my problem. Hey, this is what I'm concerned with. Lord, I need You to step in right here. And we get down in these altars, and I mean, we cry our hearts out, and then we get up and we turn around. And you know what? We go back to our seats. We go back to class. We go back to our regular life. We go back to the things that we do, and we shut Him off. And when He does talk to us, you know what? We don't even hear what He's saying. We need to listen to Him. We need to listen to Him. We need to listen to Him. Samuel there in 1 Samuel, I love the passage of Scripture. I've preached from it many times, but God was calling Samuel there, and Samuel thought that it was Eli, and he kept getting up and saying, Eli, speak. Speak, Eli. And he said, I hadn't called you. And he said, when you hear that voice again, say, speak, thy servant hear. And as Samuel went and Eli back down, he heard God's voice calling again, and he said, speak, for thy servant heareth. You know what? In our lives, wouldn't it be good if when the Lord dealt with us about something, you know what, that we say, you know what, here I am, Lord. Here I am. What, Lord, what do You want me to do? You know how He speaks to me most of the time? And I'm going to be honest. You know how the Lord speaks to me most of the time? It's through conviction. I'm being honest with you. Through my children. The Lord has tanned my hide, skint my head, whatever you want to call it, more through my children than He has anybody else. It's through my children a lot of times the Lord has given me through my children, He's taught me many things. But we should listen to Him. We should talk to Him. We should lean on Him. But you know what? He may be this morning knocking on one of your heart's door. I know many of you talked to me about being saved. Don't quite understand it, and I could probably lead some of you in a prayer and you think you'd be saved. And I don't want to do that. I'm not going to do that. That's got to be your decision. Some of you older teenagers have come to me and said, you know what, Brother Greg, I'm just confused. I don't understand. You know what? This morning the Lord may be dealing with your heart. Conviction may have fell upon you and that you know that you're lost, you're a sinner. If you were to die right now, that you would go to hell. And you know what? Hey, today could be the day that you finally say, Lord, I'm going to listen to You. You know, going to lean on You. You know what? I'm going to come down here to this altar and talk to You. Confess my faults to You. Confess my sins. Ask You to be the Lord of my life. Listen, I'm talking about when we're at wit's end. I mean, listen, some of you know what I'm talking about. I can see it in your face. I'm talking about being at that spot that where we don't know what else to do, what else to turn, whether we should move, scream. We don't know what to do. It's in these times that we should lean on Him, talk to Him, listen to Him. And then let me say this, we should obey Him. A lot of times in my life, through convictions, He convicts me about certain people one thing that I love to do is soul win. I do. I love it. The Lord's gave me a burning for that. And sometimes I can go to town, go to Walmart, go to wherever, Publix or whatever, and you know what, just out of the blue, stop, talk to people, whatever the case is, and realize that that's who the Lord wants me to witness to. And I mean, it's not anything to me to strike a conversation up, but at the end of that conversation, just ask them simply, hey, if you were to die today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? I sure would like to know. But you know what? There's been times in my life that I've been in those same places, same situations, and I've known the Lord has been dealing with me about talking to certain individuals, but yet I didn't feel good. I was mad. Something else was going on in my life. I was frustrated. And the last thing that I was worried about at that moment was witnessing for my Lord. Oh, my goodness, what shame that makes me feel sometimes, or what guilt that makes me feel. Listen, we should listen to him when he deals with us. Listen, Samuel said to obey is better than sacrifice. That means that when we should to obey, to be obedient to our Lord is better than sacrifice. That's my fourth point there, is to obey him. To trust, to lean on him, number one. To talk to him, number two. To listen to him, number three. To obey him, number four. You know what? It may be that the Lord would just tell you specifically, speak to your heart, and I can't explain to you how that is, but maybe he just speaks to your heart and tells you something specific. This is what you need to do, what you should do, what I want you to do. And if that's the case this morning, you know what? That's what we should do. Don't wait. Listen, I've learned this, that the longer we wait to do what the Lord has told us to do, the harder it's going to be for us to do it. If he tells us to witness to somebody and we don't, you know what? As day goes by, it's going to be harder and harder and harder for us to do that. Listen, what we should do is the very moment that he deals with us, and it may be through conviction this morning, whatever the case is, the very moment, you know what? We should act on that. And then fifthly, the last thing, Emily, come on up to the piano. The last thing, what to do when you are at your wit's end. What to do? We're to lean on him. We're to talk to him. We're to listen to him. We're to obey him. But listen, most of all, when we're at our wit's end, we're to trust him. Listen, we got to trust him. It's good that we lean on him sometimes. Yes, Lord, I need you. Oh, God, I need you. We may get some temporary help. It's good to talk to him. Absolutely. Hey, it's good to listen to him when he speaks. Hey, we need to listen. We should obey anything that he tells us to do. But let me say this morning, we should trust him. We should trust him. Proverbs 3 and 5, the whole verse says this, trust in the Lord with thine own heart. And then lean not on to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. The greatest thing that we ought to do is trust him, but yet sometimes it's some of the hardest things to do. We got to trust him. That means we've got to put our faith in him. Now listen, we can trust him for salvation. That's the greatest thing. You hear this morning, now you're lost under conviction. Know that you need the Lord. Know that you need to be saved. In just a moment, you know what? You need to come to this altar. Or you can come now if you need to. But you know what? You may be saved and just trying to serve him, but not doing it correctly, not doing it, or whatever the case is. You need to get those things in order. You know what? This morning's a perfect time for you to do so. But you know what? You may be here and be saved, but be at that crossroad, and you know what? Something else has come up, and you know what? It seems like again, after time, that you're at a spot, maybe at wit's end again, that you know what? That you're at that point that the only thing that you can do, and I challenge you this morning, is you just have to trust him. That you just have to trust him. I can make you this promise that if he's promised you something, it's going to come true. One day it may be on the other side, it may be on this side. But I can tell you this, the more we learn to trust him, the greater our relationship with Him is going to be. It's hard to trust somebody if you don't. It's hard to have a relationship if you don't trust somebody. Miss Kim, I love you. I do. And I trust you. I do. I trust you with everything that I've got. But you know what? There are some people that I don't trust. That you know what? I wouldn't trust them with anything that I have. Not even with a dirty pair of socks. Because I don't trust them. Their actions, their lifestyle, their choices, the things that they've done in life has caused me, you know what, a red flag to go up and say, you know what, that person is not trustworthy. Or those people, whatever the case is. But you know what, to build trust with somebody, to trust them, that means that you're putting, in a sense, your life in their hands. That's trust. You know what? Several years ago when I knelt and I was laying in my bed and I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive me, to save me, and be the Lord of my life, you know what I mean? I asked Him, I was trusting in Him that what the Bible said about salvation, how to be saved, I was trusting that that was true. And then the Bible began to come alive in my life. And from that moment on, and time and circumstances and events and different things have come up, that you know what has drew me closer to Him and has caused me to trust Him more today than I ever have before. Have there been times where that I felt like I didn't trust Him? Sure, I'm not going to lie to you. Have there been times that I've ever questioned God? Sure, there have been times that I've said, you know what, I'm not sure about this, Lord. But you know what? There's never been a time where He hadn't told me specifically something and it had not been true, or it had not been the right thing for me, or it hadn't been exactly the right thing that I needed to hear at that moment in my life. When we get to wit's end in our life, I mean, where we get that we're ready to give up, that we can't do nothing else. I mean, we hit rock bottom. There's absolutely nothing else we can do. Well, let's listen, lean on Him. And while leaning on Him, let's talk to Him. Let's listen to Him. Hey, let's trust Him. Let's obey Him. This morning, I don't know what He may be dealing with you about, but I do believe that there's something here this morning you need to move. As Emily plays here in just a moment, and we all stand together, let's everybody stand. I want everybody to bow your head, nobody looking around. Please, out of respect for everybody else, I want you to look down at just look down at the ground and close your eyes. Nobody's looking at you. These altars are always open. Emily, you go ahead and start playing. But if you need to move for whatever reason this morning, listen, you come. If I need to come and pray with you, I will. I certainly don't mind. Listen, maybe you're here this morning and you know what? You know in your heart that you're not saved and you need the Lord. I challenge you, first of all, I challenge you to come. You know what? I'll kneel here in this altar with you and I'll show you in the Word of God. And I'll lead you in the best way that I can, point you to the cross. Maybe you're here and you're saved, but you know what? You just not live for Him the way you should. Hey, this will be a good morning to come and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I do want to live for You from this moment on. Maybe you're here, you like I was just a few weeks ago. You were just at your wit's end. You know, you didn't know where to go, which way to turn, what to do. Seems like everything that you thought didn't make sense. There was no way out. Maybe you're at your wit's end this morning. Let me tell you, what we need to do is turn to our Lord. Turn to Him this morning, and He'll help us with all of our troubles. A lot of folks in the altar this morning. Anybody else want to come? You come down. Nobody looking around. Please continue to keep your head bowed. May make it easy for somebody to step out. All you high schoolers over here, you older kids, listen. Because, Lord, dealing with some of you, you might ought to move this morning. You may not ever get another chance. You may not get another chance. This morning on down here on Highway 5, a terrible crash took somebody's life. We don't have that assurance that that won't be us. And I'm not trying to scare anybody. I just want you to be real this morning. Hey, we don't have that assurance. We don't have that assurance we'll make it home today after school. We don't have that assurance that we'll wake up in the morning. You know what? If you need to do business with the Lord, why don't you do it today? Why don't you come today? Nobody's looking around but me. I'm over here in front of the high school group. Listen, when one of y'all say, "Preacher, that's me. I'm just nervous. I don't know what to do. I'm just kind of froze here in my tracks, but I need you to pray for me. I won't come to you. I promise you I will not come to you. I won't embarrass you in any way." But there be any of you high school or older kids that would just look up here at me and say, "Preacher, pray for me." Anybody? Anybody, make sure I see you, okay? Make sure I see you, okay? Just pray for me, preacher. I just don't know. I've got questions. I am a man of my word. I am no way, shape, or form. I will not come back there, and I will not call your name out. But you know what? If you would like to move, those that looked at me, if you would like to move and come down here, I'm standing right here in front of you. I'll kneel down in the altar with you. Whatever your concern is this morning, you know what? I'll listen to you, and I'll try to help you in any way I can. If any of you want to move, if you don't, that's fine. I'll be here all day today. Maybe you come by and see me in my office. Anybody want to move this morning? Anybody else? There's still plenty in the altar. You got time. Anybody? Just I tell you this, if you step out, if you just make one step out, the Lord will help you the rest of the way. Anybody else this morning? Else as we go through the course one more time. Anybody at their wits' end need to move this morning? Amen. I appreciate each one of you this morning. Appreciate your attention. My challenge to you is just search your heart today, okay? Search your heart. Folks need to do some business with the Lord. Listen, those that looked at me, listen, I promise you I would never, and I won't come to you. I will not at all ever come to you. But I want you to know my door is open, okay? At any time during snack, during lunch, at any time during class, you let your teacher know you need to come see me after school, before school, whatever. Whatever you need to talk to me about, I'd love to talk to you, okay? I'd love to. Appreciate everybody this morning. Hey, let's trust him, lean on him, talk to him, listen to him, obey him. There's going to come a day, it may come a time that we're at wit's end. I've been there, know what it's like. I do love my Lord this morning. He's been good to me. He's been, even through my trials, he's been good to me. And this morning I can stand and say that. I do, I love him. I love each one of you, too. Appreciate you being here this morning. Appreciate your attention. And any of you, teachers, y'all got anything? Anybody need to say anything before we leave? Staff? All righty. Look, let's have a good day. Focus today. Get your work done. Tomorrow will be our last day this week. And We'll be out of school on Friday. Some of y'all will be leaving Thursday, just a few of you on a ski trip, our church ski trip. Be leaving tomorrow about lunchtime. And so make sure y'all get everything get together tonight and have it ready tomorrow morning to bring with you. And But I do love each one of you, and God is good to us.